Visitor Operations and Experiences Manager Catherine McCusker talks to entomologist Mike Edwards and lead ranger Henry Barnard about some more of the fascinating invertebrates that exist all around the Surrey Hills.
Mike, help us. One of our team found up at the tower last year this tiny, tiny, tiny little black wasp that's sort of buzzing around. And she looked it up and she thought, what's this? And I think she thought what she knew what it was. And then she looked around and she could see lots and lots of tiny spider's legs just on their own, you know, dismembered from their host. So what's that? You're nodding.
What's going on here? Yeah, I don't know about tiny. It depends what you are. I mean, yes, if you watch birds, insects are tiny. This wasp is probably 10 millimetres long, which is a reasonable size. And it's taking the big false widow spiders that become so popular, or common at least, in many of our outbuildings. These are the things with the big shiny brown abdomens that with the big long legs, not the hairy ones, the shiny ones, which have become much, much more frequent as we've warmed up. And what this spider haunting wasp does is it chases the spider, which is about 1.5 times the size of itself, and jumps on it, stings it, paralyzes it. Its paralyzed spider can keep now, it's just like its own little fridge, and it puts it inside of a little mud pot that it's made. Now the legs get in the way. So what do? You use your jaws and you scissor the legs off, which is what your friend found.
But the spider's still alive, just legless.
The spider is perfectly alive. If it was dead, it would be rotten before the larva, because the spider wasp has laid its egg on the spider. Now, before the spider wasp's larva could eat all the spider, it would have gone rotten. Mm. So you put it into suspended animation. Lovely. Yum, 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 yum.
And then eventually this larva hatches out and the spider finally can meet its end.
It meets its end. It takes about 4 days.
Oh, dear.
And it's not finally dead until the last day. And when it's finally dead, the larva eats everything except the very hard jaws.
That's gross. But also quite fascinating.
Well, it is, though. But it's worth mentioning to people, in amongst all the grossness and the chomping, that when you're talking about a wasp here, but most people, when they think of a wasp, will think of the black and yellow things spoiling your picnic. And this isn't that. And also, being that it is black, it's probably hard for people to find. But I was just thinking, as I'm listening, if people want to find a not dissimilar wasp in their own gardens, many of the people listening to this will have bought solitary bee hotels and bug hotels, which you'll get solitary bees in. And if you watch around them during the summer, you'll see a thing called a ruby-tailed wasp, which is a bright red glowing jewel of a wasp in front, which parasitizes and does a not entirely dissimilar thing with the bees living in your solitary bee nest.
Oh, so I suppose we're not to mind about this, because this is happening all the time in nature, isn't it? Is that one thing provides home or host or food for another thing, which is part of the big grand scheme of things.
And none of them are more important than the other.
Yeah, good point.
So we can't say that a solitary bee is more important than a solitary wasp.
Right.
And we wouldn't want to say that.
Right.
We want all of them.
Okay. Including the flies.